Once again, good morning and welcome to Dispensational Bible Church. I'm Brother Edward Yarber, Bishop of Dispensational Bible Church. And once again, we are in a remote location of Cambridge, Ohio, in the comfort of our home studio. We probably will not get back into our building, which is a community room in the Canton, Massillon area, till the end of the month, if then, maybe before. But until then, we are thankful that we can come to you live through the Facebook. Also, we'll upload to our YouTube page this message today. Many have asked how about donating to the ministry. We do have a donate button on our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. And a dear brother in Virginia just mentioned that it wasn't working. So we'll be on that shortly. But for the ones that want to give, you can donate to that and to for the ministry. We are a group of Bible believers that studies the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And that's a really unique phrase because when we first started our church, a lot of people think that we only teach what Paul teaches us in the dispensation of grace, but that's not necessarily true. Apostle Paul is our pattern. He is our apostle. God, through Paul, wrote some books for us for today in the dispensation of grace, and we'll get into that in a little while. But all Bible's for us, but not all of it's to you. And that's very, very important when you study the Word of God rightly divided. So, some of the things we want to think about today, we have some people that are sick. We have some people that's financial hurting. And, you know, they're going back to work. They haven't been working. So I just want you to think of them as in your thought and prayer. And as I look out amongst our church, which everybody's not here, but I do see everybody sitting where they usually sit. And I can name every one of them where they're at. But I just know that some of them are not doing well. And so just lift them up in thought and prayer. Also, there's some devastating things that's going on. Going on in the world today. And it's sad. It's very, very sad. When you watch a video and somebody actually getting murdered. That's not good. That's not good for your eyes. It's not good for your heart. You know, it's not good for your mind. And I sit there and watch these things, and I sit there and watch comments on Facebook and watch, you know, emails and stuff. And, you know, your knee-jerk reaction is just, you know, stop. Stop staying at it. It's not true. But, you know, you just got to let things go sometimes. But I do not think that destroying people's property, destroying people's homes, destroying people's lives is the right way to do things. And, you know, I was talking to my son the other day. He said, Dad, it's just sad because this is the way society is. Well, it don't have to be that way. And so we need to, the only way we're going to heal is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay? And you know Him personally. You have to have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And you get in His Word, and you understand the Word of God rightly divided, and it gets down in your soul. And that's the real you. This is what changes you. Your mind does not change you. Your mind can wander. Your mind can do all kinds of things. But you have to make that connection and get what God is doing today. And once you understand that we live in a sin-cursed world, nothing's going to change until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back or takes us out of here. So we, till then, the only thing we can do is keep sharing the gospel. Keep showing people that they need a Savior and all. So with that being in mind, just keep that in thought and prayer as you pray for our government, as you pray for our officers, and you pray for the people that's losing their lives. That don't need to be losing their life. You know, there's all kinds of things going on around here. So you just be careful and be safe. And I always tell people, walk circumspectly. You know, you need to be walking around looking and all. So just be safe. And I'm lifting you up and to the Lord in word and deed. And also, you know, we are thankful for this internet. We're thankful for our ministries on the website. Our website is up and running. And I don't have an official announcement yet for July. But there's something coming. And in July, around the 17th, 18th, 19th. So keep that in thought and prayer. But anyway, let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. And we think about the thing that is going on in the world. We think about what's going on in our lives. We think about what's going on in our neighbor life. But most of all, we need to be thinking about who we are in Christ Jesus and how that affects us and our decision making. And Lord, as we think about the message today, let it be mindful of what Daniel was going through in tribulation times, much like what, you know, it seems like it's going on today, and how his hope was to get back to his city, his land, his people. And maybe that might be some things that we can understand in this times of the Gentiles. But Lord, as we think about today, let's be mindful of who you are and who we are. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Lesson 59 in the book of Daniel. We're continuing to move on forward. Last week we left off in verse 25. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. And as you think about some things that we was looking at, we was looking at the fig tree. And how the Lord took 1 year from Acts chapter 2 all the way to Acts chapter 7. There's 1 year in your Bible. And we're looking at the time frame of Daniel and how 69 weeks is there. And then there's a week over here in the tribulation period. And we'll get to that. But Daniel chapter 9 verse 25. Daniel chapter 9 verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, the big P, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again, at the wall, and even in troubled times, troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, not for himself, And the people, the prince, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the obligations to cease, and for the overspreading and of abomination he shall make it desolate. Desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, so what we would talk about, what we have already, is 69 weeks. And the 69th week, the Messiah is cut off, and some things take place then. And you have two things in verse 26, as we're looking at, are going to take place in that gap. Now, first, the Messiah is cut off. And the second thing is the people of the prince, the little p, that shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, there's going to be a war, and the war is in Palestine, and Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, and the temple is going to be destroyed. Now, historically, in your worldview or in your biblical view, historically that destruction took place in 70 AD over here. But there's two rebellions going on after that. And it was late to around 135 AD before it finally got them all out of there, destroyed everything. And 70 AD is when it was initial onslaught. And I know people takes this 70 AD and they say, okay, we got to go this way, we got to go this way, and 100 years this way and all that. I don't know about that. I just know that, the fact that 70 AD is a very, very important date, but we're going to look at some things at what it cannot be or it should not be. And the passage says, the end thereof should be with a flood. Now, last week, Brother Tom had a question about the flood. What's a flood? Well, the flood here is talking about troops. There are going to be a flood of troops going in. And I looked up some, if you have a blue leather Bible on your phone, or on your computer, it's a wealth of information, because it gives you a treasure of scripture knowledge, and you can get it in a book, and it shows you verses that work with those things. Well, that "with" there has to do with troops, has to do with armies, they're called floods, and a flood of people. You know, what's devastating these cities today the wrong way is floods of massive people going in and destroying things. Well, this is what this flood is going to do, a flood of troops. And then to the end of the war, desolations. Now, it's going to be a battle with much turmoil. And in the prophecy, there is a gap there. But is a destruction of the temple, and the war is in Palestine. It's not in America. You know, all the times you hear people says, oh, we're in Revelations. You know, things are happening just like it is in Revelation. No, it's not. It's nowhere near what's going to take place in ages to come over here. When you compare the passages in the book of Luke, I want you to be turning to Luke chapter 21 and go ahead and get Matthew chapter 24. Luke 21 and Matthew 21. Okay? Luke 21. Now, there's a destruction. In the book of Luke, is referred to the destruction in Jerusalem. And you will come to the conclusion that the destruction in Jerusalem in 70 AD is not what Daniel is talking about here. Okay? And it's different. But let's look what it says. Go to Luke chapter 21, verse 20. Luke chapter 21, verse 20. Okay, it says, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now this is a tribulation passage according to the cross reference that you can use in Matthew chapter 24. I want you to be turning to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to spend just a little bit of time there, that when you compare scriptures with scriptures, you will see. Now, Matthew, we spent 2 years, over 2 years in the book of Matthew. Probably seemed that long in the book of Daniel. But we spent 2 years in the book of Matthew. And one thing you have to know about the book of Matthew is Matthew portrays the Lord Jesus Christ as king. Okay? And it's about a kingdom. And it's not about a kingdom when he was walking on this earth, because he was preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It wasn't offered to over here in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then Israel rejected it. They diminished. They fallen. So when you look at the book of Acts, don't base your doctrine in the book of Acts. It's like shifting sand. Book of Acts is a transition from this law period into the grace period, okay? It's taken Israel from being who they are as a nation to where the Gentiles are. Message is going out to the Gentiles. But the book of Matthew is referring to a time period over here in ages to come, where you deal with Hebrews through Revelation and this kingdom over here. That's what they was looking for. That's what Daniel was looking for. Okay, getting back into the land. Getting back in that type of thing. But Matthew chapter 24, many of you have been taught in error that this is a a book about the rapture, the catching away. You know the word rapture is not in your Bible, okay? You understand that, okay? It's actually a word, it says catching away, okay? Caught up, catching away. That's what rapture means. But this book of Matthew chapter 24 is not the rapture. I have to tell you this little story that when Sherry and I came up to help start a church, we was going over some doctrinal issues, and we brought this passage up and this chapter up. And one, they didn't believe in the rapture, the catching away. When we sing, I fly away, they flew away. They left. But when we came to knowing that this is not the catching away, the rapture, they didn't understand that. You know, they thought this was what you need to do. So we're going to look at some scripture verses in here, and you can decide what you need to know about the Word of God in Matthew chapter 24. But I'm convinced. I'm totally satisfied with what God is saying, that the book of Matthew is not to me. Amen. You know, it is for us. It is for me. I can understand what's going on, but it's not to me. It's not my marching orders. You know, it's against the law to go out here in somebody's mailbox and take a letter out of there and open it up. That's larceny. But when you take spiritual larceny, commit spiritual larceny, you don't get thrown in jail, but your spirit and your soul, the real you, the Holy Spirit, is not working on that basis of ignorance, okay? You don't need to steal somebody else's verses and try to apply it to your life and expect that to work in your life. It's not going to do it. You force it to do it, thinking God, and then you're thinking God's doing what he says he's doing to Israel, and you're sitting there waiting on things, and it's not happening, okay? Then you get frustrated, and then you throw your Bible down, and then you go back to doing whatever you want to do, and then you jump from church to church to church to church, okay? There's mass confusion out there. And you need to know that once you're saved, you need to know what books is for you, and you need to know how to deal with things based on who you are in Christ, not based on emotional things. We do it all too much in our flesh, right? We don't want to do it in our spiritual body, because if our spiritual body is doing what God's doing, guess what it's going to do with your fleshly body? It's going to start working on it. Okay, and it's going to start making you do what God wants you to do. Now, you're going to rebel. That's what Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 is doing, the sanctification. But that's in another message in itself. But anyway, Matthew chapter 24, starting verse 1. Now, once again, this is not about the catching away, as many people says. It's about the tribulation period. God, Jesus Christ, is going to tell the 12, the apostles that's following him, what's going to take place not over there. So, verse 1, let's work down through this chapter a little bit. We got between now and the rapture to get through this, so I'm just going to take my time. And if you need to know more, we're going to go through more. But anyway, verse 1 says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign of thy coming and the end of the world be? Now, we've already talked about the Lord leaving the temple. You know, we already talked a couple lessons ago. We already showed you how God got up from the mercy seat. God got to the threshold, and God went out to the mountains. Going, going, gone. He left Israel politically. Then we're finding out here, we're seeing some things that God's getting ready to lead them through Jesus Christ spiritually. Okay? And usually that's not a good thing, but this is what's going on. And the Lord's leaving the temple, as in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Now, then from verses 4 through 14, The disciples asked, when will these things happen? And he tells them. Okay, what's going to take place? He shows them about the little flock in verse 13. That's the tribulation period when he says, but ye shall endure until the end, and the same shall be saved. You don't have to endure to the end because you're into what? You know, you're not in that tribulation period. I know what it seems like out there right now, tribulations and patience and... The world has not seen a tribulation period and what's going to happen in ages to come. Amen. Nowhere near it. Man can put tribulations on... You and I can put tribulations on each other. But God has not... God is not putting tribulations on you right now. He's not judging you. He's not committing war on you or wrath, okay? Grace and peace is the message today. And that's what we should be proclaiming. So, look. In verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by who? Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place, whatsoever readeth, let him understand. This is Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, where we're at. So the Lord Jesus Christ is quoting what Daniel's saying, when you see that happen over there. Now, 70 AD, that wasn't the case. Okay, I know what historians say and all that stuff, but if you want to see what Israel says, Israel's history, you need to look what they have to say. But look, verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. When is that going to take place? And let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that are give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter. Boy, it feels like winter out there, doesn't it? I'm talking about political times, you know, around you. It's winter time. It really is. Bad times out there. Neither on the Sabbath day. So what do you know about the Sabbath day? They're not to journey on the Sabbath day. He's saying, pray that you're not in the winter time, and pray that it's not Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That's the Jewish people under the law. They're going to go under that law over there, and it's going to be a time it's you never heard of it before. That's not a blessed of hope, people. You know, look, and verse 22, and except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. There's going to be days over there that's going to be extended. God's going to shorten it for the elect's sake, because you know why? Satan over here, the Antichrist, is going to try to destroy every elect Israelite there is. And he's working on that. Verse 27. For as the lightning come out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall be not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, and there shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's not the rapture. Okay? That is Joel chapter 2. That is Joel chapter 3. That is Isaiah chapter 13. That is this time period over here. When the stars shall fall from heaven. That's when Jesus Christ comes out of that heaven up there and shakes it and rolls it up like a scroll, and all the angelic beings that followed Satan falls to this earth over here. OK, Okay, this is their final resting place. This is their battle over here. But that's not the rapture, guys, as a lot of people say it is. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels. Who?
His angels.
Now, who are angels in the Bible? I know blonde hair, blue eyes, winged women, long robes. Okay? No.
Messengers.
Okay? They're men. Okay? And they're coming down with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from four winds, one from end of heaven to the other. Okay? Now, that's different what our Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, where he says the Lord himself will descend and with a shout from the archangel and gathers the body of Christ. That's this event right here when the Lord himself comes down right here in the air. He calls out the body of Christ and takes us up there. What Matthew's talking about is this over here. He sends his angels down here to gather the elect. Okay? Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. This is the same what Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 32 talks about. Same thing. So likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be what?
Fulfilled.
Has that generation passed yet?
No.
They're going to go over this place. Look, you know what he tells? You know, remember in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, where they're looking up, seeing Jesus look up, and there's two guys saying, "Why do you look up? Look up." This is not looking up. Okay? You're not to look up in here. You need to look out, because things are going to take place right here for the nation Israel. He says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall what?
Not
pass away." You have the word of God. It will never pass away. Psalms talks about, I magnify my word above what?
My name.
God the Creator that spoke heaven and earth into existence, that spoke everything, his word he magnifies above his name. So remember Lord Jesus Christ, he always says, what does the Bible say? It is written. Verse 36, but of that day and hour, knoweth no man, nor the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So he's keeping it himself. Verse 37. But as the day of Noah was, so shall as the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, in your margin of your Bible, you should have 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and 21, because Peter talks about in the days of Noah's were. Okay? And Peter's books is written for this period over here for them to understand what they're going to be going through over here in this ages to come. What Peter writes today, what you read in Peter's things, you can't apply it to what we're doing today. Because your books is through Romans through Philemon. Now, I know Peter wrote that book before Paul wrote his books type of thing. But the way the Bible is set up, times pass, ages to come, times past, but now and ages to come. Genesis through Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and a half, first part of Acts is ages, is times past. The books of Romans through Philemon is but now, what God is doing right now. And then ages to come is Hebrews through Revelation. And they'll use these books. Verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, what was going on before the flood?
Sin.
People living. People partying. Look, they, you should underline that, were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, that they, would you say they were good people? Would you say they was church-going people? Would you say they was righteous people? You know, the answer is probably no. Okay? They lived in the flesh. They endured sin. They mocked Noah. You know, Noah, the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. Okay? He told them what was coming down the pike. They laughed at him. He told them how to get right. They mocked him and all that stuff. But look, this is the wicked. That they, right here, is the wicked. The ungodly. The sinners. Verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them, underline it, bold it, circle it, away. Who's them there?
The wicked.
It has to be the wicked. I know what your church people says. I know what your preacher says. I know what people says. That they is you. He's taking you out of the way. No, it's not. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Them being the wicked. That's what Luke chapter 17, by the way, Luke chapter 17, verses 26, 27, tells us what happens to them. You know what happens to them that took them out of the way? They don't go to heaven and eat angel food cake and float on clouds. No, they don't play harps. They are destroyed. That's not the catching away. That's not the rapture. And it says and verse 40, then shall two be in the field, one is taken, underline it, taken. That's the same taken as before. The other one is what?
Left.
So I know what to say. The one is taken away to the Lord. You know, he's calling them out. No. The one that's left. Left is to go into the kingdom. Look, he's talking Matthew here. He's talking about a kingdom. He's the king. You're going to walk in that. If you was there at that time, you're going to walk in that kingdom over there. And if you're not doing what's right, that flood's taking him away. That wick, you're going to get out of here, guys. But look, verse 41. The two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other is left. The one is taken is to judgment, not to heaven. It only makes sense that God, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, sitting there to be their king, to take them into the kingdom. Why would he take them away and leave the other ones to judgment, turmoil? No. The ones that are going to walk in that kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ over there. So, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 7 through 10, talks about the small moment that he forsakes thee. What small moment would God forsake them? Not on the cross. Right here. Because they got a raft to go through, tribulation. So this is what's playing for a small moment, Jesus forsakes them. God forsakes them. That's they look for that tribulation period, according to that verse right there. Go back to Luke chapter 21. I know this is a long way getting to Daniel chapter 9. We'll finish Daniel chapter 9 one of these days, but Luke chapter 21. Almost identical to what we're talking about. Luke chapter 21, verse 23. But woe unto them that are with child, and to give to them that give suck in those days. For thou shalt be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. This people is Israel. This is the tribulation period, guys. Verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be what?
Fulfilled.
Now, then it goes on and says that it talks about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 25 through 28. Now, The thing that is that what people says about verse 24 is 70 AD. Did the temple get overran? Yes. But because that is when the city got ransacked and people got led away. But that is also exactly what the prophet's saying is going to happen in Israel in the tribulation period. Okay? And Isaiah chapter 11 and Isaiah chapter 43 and Deuteronomy 28 is exactly what's going to happen to them over in the tribulation period. So, it didn't happen then. It's going to happen over there. And it's going to go happen. And it, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to get ransacked. They're going to get carried away again. And so when you wind up here in Luke, is a passage of the prophetic period in the tribulation period. And it's referring to that time period. And it's referring to post-rapture destruction over there. And wars going to go on over there. Now, back in Daniel chapter 9. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war dissolution are determined. And he, underline it, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now who is that he there? It's the Antichrist. It's not Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the little h. It's he. You have the people of the prince. Now who's that? The little p. No,
oh,
is his people, his followers, come in to destroy the city and the sanctuary. Then there is a big war, and he, the Antichrist, confirms the covenant for 1 week. That's where we're all the way back to. In other words, when he comes in and rescues Israel from the destruction in verse 26. And that's how he gets his rise and his foothold to being their savior. They're looking for someone to save them and from the destruction and war. So when you're reading here, you're reading through a thing that does not account for the body of Christ. We're not in there, guys. And it's about a tribulation period. Now, let's take the rest of our time here, here and just recap a little bit for those that might be trying to catch up with what we're doing. There's a prophetic time schedule that started over here in Daniel. And 70 weeks will be determined upon thy people, the nation Israel, right here. Okay? And 70 weeks is 490 years, beginning with the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem. We already looked at that. 7 weeks, 49 years, from the time the wall is rebuilt, is in troublesome time. After 69 weeks, that's 62 weeks plus the Messiah's cut off, Isaiah 53, and the crucifixion of Christ when he dies at Calvary. Now, then Jerusalem and the temple will be destroyed. And there's going to be a great war and turmoil, great turmoil. People just don't know what to do. Now, after the turmoil will be 70 weeks. That's when the prince shall come to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week over here. And just as the beginning of the 70th week, guys, was identified by the commandment to go rebuild Jerusalem, so there was that's how you identify the start of the 70th week. And what begins at the 70th week, it's not the rapture, okay? It's not the catching away that's in the dispensation of grace of God. We have nothing to do with that 70th week. I know a lot of people's falling for that and has fallen for that. And the things that begins the 70th week is the Antichrist signs the covenant over there. That's what begins that 70th week, according to what God says. And he confirms the covenant for many for 1 week. And the week begins with that signing of that covenant. You don't see anything like that going on. You don't see him coming up through 10 confederations and 10 nations, and you don't see the temple being built in Jerusalem. So don't fall for that stuff. 70 weeks are important to get there. You know that. The Antichrist comes on the scene and he says, and he stops that war. Stops the war. He stops the destruction of Israel and Jerusalem and the temple and the captivity of Israel. And then they are carried away into all nations again. So you have people out there telling you God's never going to put Israel in captivity again. That's not true. They go right back over captivity again. They get scattered again. And they were destroyed into all nations during this period. So let me ask you something. With that being said, where are we, in contrast, where are we, the body of Christ, in all this stuff? Where are you in this passage that we're talking about? You're not in that passage. Okay? The body of Christ is what we call the mystery program. You have God dealing with the prophetic program, and you got God dealing with the mystery program. It's very, very important that you understand what God is doing today through His program. I'm telling you, it will make a world of difference that not to be caught up. I know many TV evangelists. I turned on one yesterday and he started crying and, you know, talking about this. And I just had to turn it off, you know. And people said, man, he's turning towards the cross. He's preaching the cross. He's preaching other things too, you know. He ain't going to go away from what he's been instructed to do. But we're in the parentheses right here. That's what we are. We're not in a tribulation passage. We're stuck in a time period that God interrupted that prophetic program. We're in a mystery program. Listen, in order for God to work what he's doing today in the dispensation of grace, this prophetic program had to stop. It's on hold. He hasn't forgot about it. Everything that he promised over here in this prophetic program is on hold. It's going to be fulfilled over there for the nation Israel. And we got to understand that it can't work at the same time. You cannot have the prophetic program going on like this right here. I know a lot of people saying this time period right here, oh, we're in Revelation. Things are going crazy over here all the time. But this right here is not what God is doing today. That is going to take place once we're taken out of here. So they do not mix. I've got to share this with you because it's very, very important to understand that when you study the Bible, you know what Peter, James, and John is doing with Apostle Paul. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. In the dispensation of grace, you're not in the tribulation period. You know, people send me stuff all the time saying, hey, you got to watch this, you got to watch this. We're in 2024, Christ is coming back. You know, 2011, Christ is coming back. 2010, Christ is coming back. 2000, these things are already passed. And you have to understand, God is not slack. God is not mocked. Well, he is mocked out there in the world. But he is not going to lie to you. That's why you have to have the right Bible to understand what he's doing today. To understand that you can understand exactly what God is doing today without a doubt. Now, you may not understand some of this stuff. But it's there. And once you understand what God is doing today, all this other stuff falls into play, guys and gals. Galatians chapter 1, you know who Apostle Paul is. Mm-hmm. Many of you do, many of you don't. Many of you do not give him credit for anything. You jump from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you follow Moses as your lawgiver, and you go right over in Hebrews through Revelation, follow Peter, James, and John, because they followed Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not handpick you to follow them. Jesus Christ handpicked Apostle Paul, a blasphemer, a murderess, and changed his life. And he came to people like you and I with some words of encouragement, what God is doing in the dispensation of grace of God, that he's dispensing grace to us. He's not dispensing law. He's dispensing grace and to give you an opportunity to come to know who he is as his Lord and Savior. And when Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, he did not run back over here to Peter, James, and John and the other eight and say, look, I'm a part of you. I'm doing exactly what you're doing here. I'm furthering the kingdom. No, he's not. He was never commissioned for that kingdom program that God commissioned the 12 to do. Does it sound like I'm angry? I'm not angry. I'm just excited because this is what changed my life, guys. It really has. Amen. But he says, do I persuade? Go to Galatians chapter 1 right quick. Galatians chapter 1. Now, Paul established the Galatian church on believing Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again, plus nothing else. You understand that? By faith, you trust what he did at Calvary, and he started that church in Galatia. And verse 6 says, I marvel that ye are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. There's people out there that's perverting the gospel of Christ today. Hundreds and thousands of people being perverted to another gospel. And Paul's saying there's not another gospel. There's only one gospel today. Now, there's many gospels, but there's one gospel today that saves you. He says, verse 10, For do I now persuade men or God, or I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ. There's men pleasers out there that's trying to please you to get you sitting in their pews, get you filling their coffers and all that stuff, and building these buildings. And that's not working out too good right now, is it? When you can't meet more than 10 people in a lot of these states. Some states right now, they're not even allowing you to meet at all. That's sad. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. He did not receive it of man. Neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle got his revelation from Jesus Christ and the glorified risen Lord up here. He's up here. He wasn't bound here on this earth. So he did not receive what God is doing through Paul and the dispensation of grace on this earth. But somebody did, didn't they? Peter, James, John, all them. We'll see that in a second. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profit the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nations, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of the fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I confirmed not with what?
Flesh and blood.
When he was separated from his mother's womb, he was separated from the nation Israel, mother Israel, okay? He was separated from that. He wasn't separated when he was in his real mother's belly. He was separated then, and he conferred not with flesh and blood. He did not go back over here and confirm it with flesh and blood, what he's doing. Now, Chapter 2, he talks about going up, Jerusalem and all that stuff, 14, 17, almost 17 years later, he goes and actually talks to Peter now. And look what he says, okay? I went up by Revelation, chapter 2, verse 2, and communicated unto them the gospel that which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them that was a reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He's meeting with them privately because they're going to start questioning him if they don't know what he's doing. And he's going to start questioning them, and that probably wouldn't have been a good scene. They're not debating a presidential debate, okay? But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this was what the whole thing is about. Acts 15. Unless you're circumcised in the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Whoa. Paul's like, really? You know, I'm preaching grace through faith plus nothing else, and you want them to get circumcised like I was? No. And that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out their liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That brought you back into the bondage system under that law. Are you free men or you're slave men? You're free. To whom we gave, listen to this, to whom we gave place of subjection, about 3.5 hours we sit there and talked with them. You know, we ate a steak. Mm-mm. We didn't eat pork. We ate a steak and potato. And we just talked, you know, about Cleveland Browns for a while. Or the Roman theater, what was going to see that night. No. Gave, no, not for 1 hour. Didn't give them any time. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whosoever they are were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. Can you see that? Can you hear that? Can you read that? He accepts what?
No man's person.
You know what else he don't? He's not a respecter person. He is not going to give you blessings and curse me. And vice versa. He's not going to favor me of doing things and not favor you. He gives us a choice. He gives us a free will. You make good choices, okay? What did he say? For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added what?
Nothing
to me. Nothing. Paul had it. What he was going to say, what he was doing, you're not going to add nothing to me. I know it sounds very arrogant, don't it? You know, I know people look at you sometimes and say, you just know it all. You just think you know it all. Nope. You know, I hope I have a teachable heart for the rest I live, but I will tell you this. I want to spend the rest of my time before I take that dirt bath, understand what God is doing in a dispensation of grace so I can teach my family, I can teach my grandchildren, I can teach you, me. If you got a willing spirit, a teachable spirit, you'll understand this. And you'll say, wow, that's what God is doing, okay? And the Bible that you know, once you understand the Word of God rightly divided, the Bible that you knew will come, you know, like a big screen TV. You know, I love walking in Best Buys and stuff like that and see all them TVs on it. I'm just mesmerized. I'm just standing there like, wow, why can't I have a picture like that? And my wife just pulls me by the collar. You do have one like that, that type of thing. But the thing is, the Word of God will open up more so than it ever has. But look at verse 7. But contrariwise, oh, contraire. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. You see that? The gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to who?
Paul.
As the gospel of the circumcision was committed to?
Peter.
There's two gospels right there, guys. One for them, one for you. And look, and when James, no, let's back up. For he wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty to me towards Gentile. He gave them the same, God, Lord Jesus Christ gave them the same authority working with each other. One was in the earthly ministry, what they need to do on this earth for a kingdom on earth. The other was in the heavenly mystery for the kingdom in heaven. And when James, Cephas, you know who Cephas is?
Mm-hmm.
Peter, okay? And John, who seemed to be pillars. I don't know about that word, do you? You know, seem, do you seem to be a truck driver? I might not look Do I seem like one now? No, when you seem to be a truck driver, you know, people look at me sometimes, they say, you ain't no truck driver. You don't seem to be a truck driver. They seemed, who seem to be pillars, okay? They seem to be that way. Okay, they were making a stand over there. Perceived that the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. No COVID-19 going on there, guys. But look, the grace was given to me, Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they should what?
To the circumcision.
Only that they should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Okay? What did they do? Paul's message, Peter acknowledged what Paul was doing in a dispensation of grace. They shook hands. They made a binding contract that you go to the heathen, and the heathen was everybody that was not saved and the Gentiles. Okay? What Peter couldn't reach in the kingdom program, they became heathen. That's why when Paul, his first manner was to go to the synagogue. Who's in the synagogues?
Jews.
And he reasoned with them. Why? I thought Peter and them was going to that. No. When they did that, guys, that kingdom program was postponed. Okay? It's postponed. It's going to be fulfilled over there. It's going to take back up. But right now, God is working with a body of Christ. And Jew, Gentile, bond free, male, female. That's who makes up the body of Christ once you trust Christ Jesus, died for your sins and buried and rose again. And once you do that, he places you in a body. Not in this tribulation period over there, if you want to think about getting back to where we was at in Daniel. But when we're taken out of here, God will again take over those last days. And I'm going to leave it with that right today. But if you never trusted Christ Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, today's the day of salvation, guys.
Amen.
You know, the way you walk out these doors and you drive down these streets, you know, anything's possible. You know, I encourage you to walk circumspectly. I encourage you to continue to be who you are in Christ. You know, you don't back down from that. But you don't put your head on a chopping block, you know, just to please your flesh. So, you know, today, I want to encourage you to continue to study. I want to encourage you to continue to do the right thing. Once again, if you want to donate to the church, you can go on www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. And there's a donate button there. You can give that way. You can write us. You can email us words of encouragement. If you got questions, we'd love to hear from you. And we hope to, we'll see anything else I need to say. Hope that you will continue to enjoy our messages on Daniel. One of these days we'll get through Daniel. Let's just go to word prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next week.